you understand Satan's desire to annihilate Israel. Why is there such an effort around the world? All the Muslim countries are against Israel, would love to wipe them off of the map. As soon as they became a nation in 1948, there was a war and an attempt to wipe Israel off the map. Well, go back to the very beginning. Why did Cain slay Abel? I believe it's because Satan thought Abel was the seed that was prophesied in Genesis 3. And he thought he had succeeded, but God had other things in mind, a man named Seth. And then a little while later came Abraham. Well, Abraham had Isaac, but what happened before that?
Ishmael.
He tried to thwart God's plan with Isaac, with Ishmael. Isaac, the child of promise, replaced by the child of the flesh. That's all explained in Galatians. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the 12 sons that he had. And they become 12 tribes. And over, Satan tries to destroy the line that he understands is going to produce the Messiah. And you come on down, we've talked about Jeconiah. And Jeconiah, God saying, no one from your blood, your line, is going to sit on the throne. Satan's thinking, oh, we've got this licked. God had other plans. And so Joseph, who came from the line of Solomon, which came through Jeconiah, was the legal heir of the throne, but he was not the physical father of Jesus. So Jesus had the legal claim to the throne through his adopted father, but Mary had the bloodline through David's son Nathan, so he didn't have to worry about going through Jeconiah. And that's how God worked it all out. Well, Jesus was born, and what happened? Herod tried to murder all the babies around Bethlehem to kill that messianic seed. Why? Because Satan is trying to stop God's plan. God's plan also, though, in the end, involves that seed, Jesus, sitting on a throne. So when he was crucified, Satan may have thought he won a victory, but Jesus rose from the dead. And then when Jesus rose from the dead 40 days later, he ascended and promised to return and to establish his kingdom. Acts chapter 1, read it sometime. So what? So if Satan can destroy the Jews, like he tried to many times through the popes and through Hitler and a concordat with the Pope and all these things in history, he was trying to thwart God's plan to have a nation of Jews in the land when Jesus returns to set up his kingdom. That's what you're seeing. History has a lot of ins and outs and everything, but there's this thread through the whole thing of God's people, Israel, and Satan's attempt to destroy the seed. Think of the universe. It will change. God will not. Look with me at Hebrews. We're in James. Just turn back a few pages to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 10. I'll read 8 and 9 while you turn there. But unto the Son, capital S, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Read 10 through 12 with me. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. That tells you the story right there. Universe is an amazing thing that we have only barely even scratched any surface on. Our little solar system and Alpha Centauri, and then all the stars that we've seen are from such a distance that they have to study the light coming off the stars, and they can't even see planets. The only thing they can see, the only reason we know beyond our solar system that there are planets is because those stars, when they're studied carefully, and sometimes it's taken them years of all the mathematics and everything to figure that it wobbles just a tiny bit. And for that reason, they believe there's a planet. And then using some super strong telescopes out in space, they've then been able to see just a tiny little black spot, which isn't the planet. It's the place where the light from that star is being blocked. So they still haven't seen the planet, but they see the shadow from the light being blocked by that and the wobble, and that's as much as they've gotten as far as seeing planets. It's an amazing thing. And it goes billions of galaxies. And every one of the galaxies has billions of stars and planets. And the Bible says, and He created the stars also. He made the stars also. Like that. That's our awesome God. And He's not only that big, that would teach you something called omnipotence. Omni, meaning all, potent power. But He's immutable. He's unchangeable. And that is so important. God's Word does not change or fail. God doesn't change. His Word does not change. Look at Isaiah 53, if you can, real quick. 55. Go there instead. Isaiah 55. 53 is a good one for the Messiah, but we're talking about God's Word. 55, 7 through 12. Isaiah 55, 6 begins and says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near." Verse 7 says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." Now, what we're going to see is we know that's true because God said so, and once He says so, it's done. And whether or not we can understand it doesn't matter. Why? Read verses 8 through 12. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Stop for a second there. That's a very nice way of saying get over yourself. You and I are little tiny pea brains. God is all-knowing. And we just talked about how massive this universe is. Compare a grain of sand to the entire universe, and you've got a little idea of the difference between your pea brain and God. God likes to put man in his place because man needs put in his place. We think because we went to the moon, we're hot stuff. You know what? It was a joke because they had predicted certain things about going to that moon. And one of the things was it was supposed to be thick with powder from the billions of years of dust accumulating on the moon. And when they got there, one of the things, the first things Neil Armstrong said was, "It's pretty solid." And a lot of people didn't know why he'd even make that comment, really. Because they expected billions of years. You know what they said later? Well, it wasn't that it's not billions of years old. It's that a big asteroid blew by one time and blew all the dust off. So that's why God's got to put man in this place. He gets too big for his britches. Verse 10 says, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater." Read 11 and 12. "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Yeah, and verse 13, might as well read that. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Amen. God and His dealings with man do change with each dispensation, but He does not change. We've talked about this before. None of you are walking around naked. Yes. Thank you. None of you woke up this morning challenged with the temptation to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Right? That's because that was a different dispensation. Now that's changed, and God's rules to man, His message to men has changed. God hasn't changed. But after that, we'll just skip through a few of these. We talked about how I like to joke about the fact that no one but Ken Ham should be building Noah's Ark. And that's because Ken Ham had millions of dollars and is using it to try to reach people with the gospel and so forth. And that's fine. But as far as building a boat because God's going to flood the world, we're not worried about that, are we? What do we look for in the sky to remind us that He's not going to flood the world again? The rainbow. It doesn't stand for being gay. See how twisted and sick that is? They took a covenant, a token that God put in the sky to remind us He will never destroy the world with a flood of water again. And the Sodomites have adopted that as their symbol. But we're not worried about that. How many of you went down to the temple sometime around Nisan 14 and offered a lamb? Cut the lamb's throat. Yeah. And you'd have to go to Jerusalem to do it because you could only go to one temple on the planet. And it had to be the one God established. And if you're a male and you weren't circumcised at 8th day according to the law, you were supposed to be cut off and your family cut off and all so forth and so on. We don't worry about it. Why? We're not under Mosaic law. It is a different dispensation. We are in the dispensation of the gospel of the grace of God. And we don't have a temple. We are, each of us, are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we have fellowship with God, and you don't need a priest. I'm not up here, Father Greg. You don't need a priest. The Bible says there's one mediator between you and God. That's the man, Christ Jesus. And so when you confess your sin, I've had people come up and try to confess your sin to me. I said, I need to confess something. I said, you need to go to the Lord. Unless it's against me. Did you do something to me? You want to confess your faults to me? James says do that. But if it's sin, it's between you and God. And if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But there's going to be another priesthood. First of all, there's going to be a false priesthood during that 70th week of Daniel, set up with the covenant with death and hell with the beast and that tribulation temple, and there's going to be animal sacrifice there that won't be anything but blasphemous because Jesus has already shed His blood to pay for all sin. But after Jesus returns, He's setting up His millennial kingdom, and there will be a temple. Go back to Ezekiel 40 through 44. You read all about it. There's going to be a priesthood under Zadok, not Aaron. And they will offer blood sacrifice, not to pay for sin or to cover sin, because it never did pay for sin. But not even as a covering for sin. It's an offering of memorial, the Bible says. And it'll be a reminder to the world what Jesus has done. Right now we do that with a bloodless offering of a symbol, not a sacrifice. We take the bread and the wine and we offer that as a memorial to the Lord, just like they're going to offer the memorial in the millennium. But it doesn't pay for sin. It doesn't pay for anything. And that's what the memorial or the millennial sacrifice will do. So God changes the way He deals with men, but He doesn't change. That's why Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus does not change His mind. What He said, He will do. And that's why it also says in James 1:17, there is neither shadow of turning. God is perfect stability. How many of you have seen, we would like to think that our leaders are pretty stable people, but we've come to expect that they're not. Amen? We got a president right now that is not even there mentally. And you've seen the new CIA ad, or ads, where they're touting people who are woke and have all kinds of mental disease and everything, that's what we want in our CIA. Yeah. And it's pretty crazy. Well, they ought to call it Central Wokeness Agency. But Scripture with Scripture, some examples in Romans 1. Go to Romans 1. We were talking about the universe. It's going to change. But you know, the amazing thing about the universe is its stability. Is that how, through just using mathematics, they can predict the bodies in the heavens and where they'll be at a certain given time. Halley's Comet, they know when to expect that again. Yeah. When you take a telescope, you can fix it on one particular star here and one there and one there, and then it'll just, you can stay out there for hours and it'll move right along with all the different bodies in the heavens because of the stability that God's put into that whole system. Look at verse 19 to 20. Says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. How did he do that? Read 20 with me. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You can look at the universe around us. You can look at the earth. You can look at the sun, moon, stars. And you see the handiwork of God. You see the omnipotence of God. You see the omniscience of God. And stability is the key to survival. Do you realize your body does a thing called homeostasis? It's the ability of an organism to maintain its internal state in spite of external fluctuations. In other words, you, for example, keep a body temperature that keeps your organs functioning and your blood flowing. If you're in really cold temperatures, you die of hypothermia. It means that you lose heat and your blood, I think it's the word coagulates, turns to almost like a thick syrup and stops flowing through your body and then eventually freezes. And one of these stabilizing factors is called thermoregulation that I was talking about just a second ago. Without stable body temperature, humans get sick and die. That's why, what do you do when someone says they're sick? You take a thermometer and you find out what their temperature is. And if it's too high or too low, either one, that person is in trouble the higher it gets or the lower it gets. And you got to get some help. You got to do something. That's why in the old days, they used to do a lot more of this, where you take somebody who had 105 degree temperature, they put them in a bathtub and put cold water and ice to try to force the body temperature down. And it was a life-saving thing. Unlike bleeding people, that actually was a good thing to do. But nothing is as stable as God is. Eventually, our bodies are going to die. Eventually, you're going to be cold. And your body will be put 6 feet under. But God is eternal. He will not die. He will not change. He is, every one of us, every Christian who's ever trusted in the Lord, anybody who has turned to God, we are all looking at the same source of our life, the source of our stability in living, and our hope in death. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. If any man believe in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Memorize that. Get that in your head and your heart. There's been many times I've shared that with people in death or they've lost somebody. And that scripture brings to mind, if that person's a believer, they didn't die. They just walk through a door into the presence of God. They're even asking now, is it time to redefine normal body temperature? Why? Because we're in a fallen state. And things change. Our bodies change. It's like ever you've been told to, your blood pressure should be 120 over 80. You've been told that? Not true. It might be for you, but it may not be for her. Your perfect blood pressure is not the same as everyone else on the planet. And neither is 98.6 the perfect temperature. I've always been about a 99. And there's been times where the school nurse or somebody would say, ooh, we better keep an eye on this. Your temperature's a little high. I say, you know, it always is. Every time I take my temperature, it's 99. And it's been that way since I was a little kid. Why? Because we're not all exactly the same. There is fluctuation. We're human. We're fallen. You want to look at the only being without fluctuation. It's God. Because now, all of a sudden, a couple years ago, my temperature's down to 98.5 all the time. And I ain't dead yet. So, anyway, I just wanted to point that out. It's saying that it's, I know it seems crazy, but 98.6 may not in fact represent the best estimate of normal body temperature, because over the last 160 years of data that they have, they've shown that the average temperature has been dropping in human beings.
It's global warming.
Yeah, global warming's killing us. So, the bottom line, he says, is while the news that the normal body temperature may be drifting down over time is intriguing, it's not cause for alarm. Why? Because it's just showing what is happening in bodies around the world, and it's just happening in everyone, basically. We fluctuate. God doesn't. By the way, Darwinians claim that we evolved this way because we needed to. I read that they were serious, that our body temperature is the way it is, and we evolved that way because we wanted to. I was like, what does that even mean? We collectively as a race huddled somehow and said, you know, I think 98.6 would be a good one. Sounds good to me? We were a bunch of blind fish walking around bumping into things, and we were just like, man, eyeballs would be great. And so our skin folded. And then over millions of years, that little skin fold started developing and it became the eyeball. Then when you study what the eyeball is, you're like, ain't no way. You know, what was it, Mark, was it you say, or Doug, one of you said, I was born at night, but not last night. So God's creation is stable to a great extent, even in a fallen state, but it's not perfectly stable like God. Colossians 1:17 reminds us, He is before all things, and by Him all things consist.
Amen.
Just so happens that tomorrow's Proverb devotional, we've been putting up 5-minute devotionals every morning. We're in Proverbs chapter 3. If you sign up on Sermon Audio, they'll give you the notifications. But tomorrow's devotional in Proverbs 3 is right along these lines. I'm not going to tell you what it is. You can listen tomorrow. But the verses say the Lord by wisdom, this is 19 to 20, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding He hath established the heavens. That's just, you think about that. You talk about, we're going to talk about omniscience in the proverb, but that's why it's so great to call Jesus our rock. I mean, there's sometimes you call somebody a rock, you know, like Joe Biden, like a rock, only dumber. But when you talk about God, you're not talking about his density and his mind. You're talking about his stability and that he is our foundation. Paul talks about how, you know, no other foundation can anyone lay but that which is laid. And that is Christ Jesus, Christ crucified.
Deuteronomy 32:4, He is the rock, His work is perfect.
Amen. See?
His ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He.
Bam!
Bam. 8.
What's that again? Deuteronomy
32:4, and rock is capital R.
That's right. And solid and unchanging. Look at how many times in the Bible when it's talked about Jesus or God in general terms, and the rock R is not at the beginning of a sentence and is capitalized. What did you say?
Oh,
Doug and Jenny been prophesying tonight. Paul explains in reference to the Old Testament in 1 Corinthians 10:4, for they drank of that spiritual rock, capital R in your Bible, should be, that followed them, and again, two times in one verse, that rock, capital R, was Christ. Solid as a rock. That's where we end this study as we close.